The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Mike Somich will join us later this hour. Our own Mike Somich, co-host of the Handle, Somo-bombing us with all of his plays. And here momentarily, we will hook up with Cleve T.A. to talk NFL with him with some just amazing stuff in his guide. I'm just text bombing Kelly right now with contact information as well. Cleve did his NFL betting guide, and I should note again, the VSiN NFL betting guide for subscribers. Check it out. Again, just an amazing bit of work from Matt Humans, Adam Burke, and company, Zach Cohen, everybody just contributing. They do a wonderful job with all of our betting guides. The NFL, obviously, the most popular of all of them, but every sport, to be quite honest with you. It's one of VSiN's great assets. But Cleve is one of these guys that we've had on the Megapod now. He's a Megapod regular. I think we can call him that. And he's one of the great NFL Twitter follows there is. And he joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at Cleve T.A. That's C-L-E-V-T-A. And, of course, he joins us now from Cleveland, Ohio. How you doing, Cleveland? What's going on?
Good. What's going on, guys? Good Monday morning to you.
CleveAnalytics.com, of course, is the website as well. First of all, let me just say this about your guide. I said this to you off air. I want to say it to you on air, which is one of the things, and I think VSiN solved this as well with ours, but you certainly did with yours, which is that pro football betting guides in the past, and we really respect the people that have authored them, but sometimes they're kind of tough to read, right? Like there's a lot of information. It's almost like paralysis by analysis. It's almost too dense. You have really solved that. I just want to say that in advance. Well done, sir.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, there are a lot of good preview guides that are out there, and some are a little more extensive than mine. I just felt like the average football fan just wants to kind of get all the information that is important and necessary in one page. And so that was really my goal all along, is just kind of get to the heart of the matter and what are the key points. And so I tried to do that with each team, kind of one page per team. And it's hard because I'll write and I'll be over by a couple hundred words and I have to go back and edit it down to make sure we get it to one page. But I think it actually helps refine the process and kind of gets rid of some of the fluff. And so that was really the goal with the preview.
And yours is completely free. And you have no intention of ever charging anybody with this, and you say it has really helped you, your process?
Yeah, you know, so I this is a lot more formalized in the last, I think this is my third year doing this. And so I've always in the past, getting ready for the NFL season, have kind of informally looked back at, you know, 2020, the prior season and roster changes and some of the, you know, some of my metrics and things like that to get ready for the upcoming season. And so it helps me, you know, kind of shape my win totals and futures and all those sorts of things. But this obviously is that on steroids, having to put it on pen to paper, if you will, and spending, you know, hundreds of hours putting it all together formally. It really helps refine, you know, what I think going into the season. And, you know, the last couple of years, I've really had my best results from an ATS and totals perspective in the first month of the season. I think it's because of all of the work I do in the off season to get ready. And I think I have an edge on the market when it comes to that. And so I have a strong opinion one or another, and I'll kind of attack those teams that I think I have an edge on, either to fade or to back. And so, it's really helped my process, and I don't have any intention to charge for it. It's, you know, it's a lot of my time, but again, it's helping me. And look, I don't necessarily need the income from this. I don't do this full time. I have a full time career in finance, and I'm doing just fine. And so this, you know, if it can help people with their process and help them in the off season, and then I have no problems, you know, giving it away for free. So I'll do it as long as I can do it, as long as my wife allows me to spend all that time in May and June to get it ready. I'll be able to do it.
She's like, T.A., we have 75 children. Maybe not do the guide anymore. Yeah, I gotta think.
I mean, she's great. She lets me do it. Like, I've had to spend nights and you know, find time to do it. But she's been great, and it's helped me kind of put things together. I kind of cram in the last week or two to definitely to get it done. And so it's very helpful to have a you know, support system there to get it all done. So it's not easy, but it's worth it.
And last thing before we dive in, just to give you some street cred here, your finishes and contests, can you just list a few of those?
Oh gosh, I don't have it in front of me, but I've finished. I've been in the Circa Millions, and then prior to that, the Westgate Super Contest for over a decade now. And I think I've finished 60% or higher at least three or four times. And so, you know, I haven't cashed anything huge. I've been in the top 100 a couple times, and I was actually first place, I think, 4 or 5 years ago after the quarter mark. So I've been kind of flirting, but just haven't broken to kind of top 20 just yet. But I've been flirting a lot, and hopefully I can kick down that door one day. You know, consistency, I think, has been the key for me. It's just a matter of really getting that outlier performance to really cash something big.
Well, you keep hitting 60% as often as you do. One of these years, it will go that way. Let's start with, you did a great job of quantifying for us the rate at which NFL alternate season win totals cash. You do it by units, you do it by dollar size. I want to put up the graph that you did so nicely in your guide. The percentage of win totals over the years, over the last decade, that have been off by 2+ wins and that have been off by 3+ wins. And you can sort of take it from here as we put this up on the screen.
Yeah, I think we, you know, we tend to think that these markets are just so efficient, and you know, win totals end up kind of falling exactly in line with where you see them in the preseason. It's just not really the case. And I give you know, Drew at you know, Will Capper big credit, because he kind of came up with this a couple of years ago, yes. And I dug a little bit deeper and you know, kind of expanded a little bit. But you know, in reality, win totals are not really that close. When it's all said and done, I mean, like you said, last year was actually the lowest we've seen in a decade in terms of only 38% of the win totals were off by 2+ wins. But, you know, we saw 2/3 of teams were off by 2+ the prior year. And you can see generally it's in kind of that 40 to 60% range. And then by 3+ wins last year was pretty low at 16%. But, you know, historically it's about 1/3 in general. And so that I've always thought that it made sense to, if you like a team, to kind of go over or under, just, you know, sprinkle a little bit on the alts either way. And especially, you know, I if you look at the data a little bit deeper, it's not in here, but you know, avoid taking alt unders on the really bad teams, because those don't do well, and avoid taking alt overs on the really good teams, the double digit teams, and kind of focus on everything in the middle if you want to find a little bit of you know, plus money on some of those kind of one or two wins away from the current win totals. And that's really where you get the biggest profits, are in that kind of middle tier. And that's a lot of where your rookie quarterbacks lie, right? Like, where there's just not a lot of information, where you have roster turnovers, especially a quarterback or at head coach, you get a lot of kind of unknown information and rosters that look a lot different, and coaching staffs look a lot different from year to year. And that's where you see a lot of the upside surprises or kind of downside surprises. So those are really where, you know, I like to focus. And I think the data says historically is where you see the biggest outliers.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's the biggest PSA I think we can give anybody pre-flop before a season. Really bet alternate. Look at the alternate season win totals markets. And as you point out, 2022, 2 years ago, 66% 2+ wins off, 3+ wins off 38%. And look at 2016, Kelly. 63% 2+ wins off, 47% of
that's
teams
crazy.
3+ wins off.
I mean, Cleve did such a great job with this last year, marking this stuff down too. I remember going through the same thing last year. But I mean, like, 2023 was almost a bit startling when I saw those results. Yeah. Where you're like, compared to what we've seen recently, not nearly as much.
Cleve going to stay with us, kind enough to stay with us for two segments. Let's get in this one question here before the break, which is, give us a team this year that you feel, a surprise team that you feel will make the playoffs.
I like the Vikings this year, and their win total is hovering right around 7, depending on some of the juice and some of the sites you look at. But I think that this is an undervalued team. I hit on, you know, last year I liked Tampa as kind of a, you know, a surprise team, not necessarily to win their division, but to exceed their win total and to surprise teams. And it's one of those kind of, you've got these veteran teams, good quality rosters that are just an unknown at quarterback. And I think they get depressed in the market. I mean, Minnesota has a very good offensive line. They've got the best receiver in the NFL, Justin Jefferson. You have TJ Hockenson at tight end. You have an excellent pickup in Aaron Jones at running back. I don't think people really, you know, paid attention to, you know, to that pickup. And he's going to add a lot, either whether it's a rookie quarterback in JJ McCarthy or Sam Darnold. And you've got Brian Flores on defense who can take any, he's already proven you can take any roster literally on defense, and he will, you know, blitz the hell out of opponents. He'll scheme his way to at least kind of a league average ranking or even better. And so I think you've got the ingredients there in the coaching staff. Kevin O'Connell, I think, is a really good offensive mind. And if you just get, you know, decent quarterback play, no matter who the starter is, I think you can really surprise. And if you, you know, if JJ McCarthy is better than people expect, or if Sam Darnold, you know, has a Geno Smith or a Baker Mayfield like, you know, resurgence, we've seen this the last couple of years, a veteran to kind of come out of nowhere with a second or third chance, they can really, I think, have a shot at winning this division. And I don't think the schedule is that difficult. This, I think there's only one kind of a top 10 level team that they play all season at home. So they've got a good enough schedule, I think, to exceed the expectations. And I think they have the roster to do it. And the coaching staff really is a big one for me. So that's a team I think has a shot to not only, you know, clear their alternate win total, but to win to make the playoffs, essentially.
I think that will surprise a lot of people for sure. By the way, Cleve has another surprise team in his guide, but we'll let you get the guide to find out what that other team is that he thinks could be a surprise playoff team when we come back. A surprise team to miss the playoffs, his coach of the year thoughts. That's on the other side with Cleve TA, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
With our all-new NFL betting guide out now, there's never been a better time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Our all-new NFL betting guide is your secret weapon for the upcoming season with in-depth profiles of every team, advanced stats, proven betting systems, and betting trends. You'll have all the tools you need to bet this season smarter, plus our experts share their top bets on season win totals, futures, and props, giving you the insights you need to get ahead of the action. To get the guide, you got to be a VSiN Pro subscriber, though, for a limited time. Get an annual subscription to VSiN Pro at an unbeatable price. Normally $240 a year. You can subscribe now for just $199 with promo code ANG. Plus, we'll throw in an extra month for free. That's 13 months of VSiN Pro access to everything we do, including our daily best bets, 24/7 video, premium analysis, exclusive betting splits data, all our special edition betting guides to keep you betting smarter all year long. Don't miss out on our all-new NFL betting guide. This incredible offer exists at VSiN.com/subscribe right now. And use promo code ANG.
ANG like a numbers game.
To get 13 months of VSiN Pro for just $199, get instant access to our all-new NFL betting guide. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. And I cannot stress enough, once again, what a great job that Matt Eumanns and Adam Burke and company have done once again. Another Rembrandt from those guys.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What if Adam Burke is a NASCAR bet this week?
That's right.
I don't know why that left a lasting impression on me.
You were really into that. You were like, did you just say Adam Burke did NASCAR? I was like, yes, I did.
Didn't know. Yeah, I just did not know that he bet NASCAR.
Yeah, man.
That's a lot. Like you said, we got a couple guys in the network. I mean, him, Wes. I mean, a couple others. The amount of sports they get into is impressive.
It is impressive for sure. Cleve TA is impressive as well with his betting guide. Again, free. He's on Twitter at Cleve TA. That's CLEVTA. I believe he's a fan of the Browns. I believe that's the case. CleveAnalytics.com. You are a fan of the Cleveland Browns, yes?
Yes. All fans of all Cleveland teams. You know, me and Adam Burke, we're Cleveland guys. So
yeah,
definitely got that in our blood. And when you're from the Midwest, that doesn't go away no matter where you move to. So big fans of Cleveland.
By the way, believer in Deshaun Watson returning to top form. What do you feel about that?
I wouldn't say elite form. It's just hard to do that after this couple of years. But I think he was starting to turn the corner. You know, against that Ravens, they went into Baltimore, came back from multiple scores down. He didn't throw an incompletion in the second half of that game. And then that's when he got hurt and the season was over. So he had shown signs of getting better. But I think all he has to do is really be a top 16 type of quarterback. And I think that, you know, the Browns can make the playoffs. We saw what they did with no quarterbacks last year, essentially, four quarterbacks, Joe Flacco off his couch, you know, good system, good talent. They added Jerry Jeudy. Hopefully they get Amari Cooper signed. And I think he could be good enough. But yeah, there's clearly a question mark after the last 2 years.
Yeah. And I know you're high on Jerry Jeudy too, which is not the case for many. That's kind of outlying opinion for some as well. Okay. You gave us the Vikings as a surprise team to make the playoffs. Give us a surprise team that you think will miss.
Well, so I'll mention real quick, you guys talked about it last year. Maybe you'll do it again for a segment. 20 straight years of, it may be longer, I just haven't gone back, where a team that's expected to be under 500 has made the playoffs. We did that. Remember, we did that exercise last year. Mm-hmm. And so that's, you know, Minnesota fits that. And on the other side, we've had the same thing with a team that is, you know, favored to make the playoffs that didn't make it the next year. So I went with Dallas, because I know there's going to be at least one, probably more. I think that, and obviously it's kind of common that Dallas is being depressed in the marketplace. You know, they've historically been really good in the regular season, won 12 games back-to-back seasons. I just think from a talent perspective, they didn't add anybody at all. I mean, I think Ezekiel Elliott's the only kind of rotational player, maybe Eric Kendricks, if you want to count, you know, a linebacker on defense as a guy that they've added. But they lost five starters. They've got two new starters on the offensive line. You lose Tyron Smith, who's a mainstay at left tackle. You're sticking a rookie in there in Tyler Guyton, who's 21 years old out of Oklahoma. You've got your center is gone. He went to Washington, and you're replacing him with a street free agent, Brock Hoffman, who's barely played in the NFL. So your past strength at offensive line is gone. You've got question marks at, you know, number two receiver outside of CeeDee Lamb. You don't really have, you get Brandon Cooks, who's, you know, getting older, getting long in the tooth, hasn't had, I think, 800 yards in a number of years. CeeDee Lamb is worried about his contract. We don't know what's going on with Dak and his contract. You lose Dan Quinn, the defensive coordinator. It's like all of these things are off a team that, you know, won 12 games and then, you know, got blown out in the playoffs against a good Green Bay team. And if you look last year, they feasted off of really bad competition. I mean, they beat the Giants, Jets, Patriots, Chargers, Giants twice, the Panthers, Washington twice. Like, they beat some really, really bad teams. And then against the Niners, they lose by 32. They lose by 21 to Buffalo. They lose by 16 to Green Bay in the playoffs. Like, anytime they stepped up in competition, they really struggled. They got a little tougher schedule this year. So all those things, I think that Dallas can win, you know, 8 or 9 games, but missing the playoffs is kind of who I would, that's who I would take to miss the playoffs.
Dave Ross and Femi Abebefe are very angry, getting angry at that. But I'm with you. I called them bullies last year. That's what they were. They were bullies, them and the Dolphins to some extent as well. Okay, that's interesting. Let's get into now, you and I talked about this off air. I actually mentioned it earlier on the show, which is I do this NCAA championship formula. It's tried and true. In the end, picking the winner isn't that hard at all if you just follow 6 parameters. You do this for NFL awards, which I think, TA, is so great because it gives us guardrails. And let me just raise my hand. Kelly and I, I'll throw Kelly in because we're the ones talking, but like, we'll prattle on about these awards for a long time. And these are great to keep in mind for us even. Let's start with Coach of the Year. Give us what the sort of parameters have been and then who your pick is.
Yeah, this is a good one to start because we see this, especially in season all the time, where guys like Kyle Shanahan or Harbaugh last year with the Ravens, they keep getting touted during the season, and they're the favorite kind of midway to win Coach of the Year just because they have the best record. It's like, that's not the we know this is a human award. That is not who wins this award. It's not the good teams. It's the teams, the middling to bad teams that exceed expectations the most. Like, that's, you've got to put that in your head first when you're kind of framing who is likeliest to win Coach of the Year. And so 15 straight winners have won at least 9 games, so that's easy. But the average preseason win total of the last 15 winners is only 7.5, and no winner in the last 15 years had a win total of higher than 9.5. So it's not the elite teams. It's not the teams that are expected to win double digits or make the playoffs or win the Super Bowl that you get the coach of the year. It's the, like I said, the middling teams or the teams that are kind of not expected to do well. Those are the ones that typically, you know, win this award. And, you know, they typically increase their win total from prior year by at least 5 games. So, and a bunch of them are, you know, almost half of the last 15 are new coaches. You see that a lot, like the, no expectations, new coach comes in after a bad season. They win their 8, 9, 10 games and, you know, 11 games and they win coach of the year. So that's typically what you see. And, you know, last year was a little bit of an anomaly with Kevin Stefanski. He beat D'Amico Ryans barely, who would have fit that criteria perfectly. You know, the Browns had all those injuries. I mean, 4 quarterbacks, you're setting record for number of quarterbacks and then to make the playoffs. Like, you'll get an outlier like that, but generally it's the ones that exceed the expectations the most that win this award.
And I think you hinted earlier as to who you landed on here.
Yeah, Kevin O'Connell. I like Minnesota, obviously, to be my surprise team. So Kevin O'Connell sitting at 28-1, fits the bill. Obviously, Minnesota is at 6.5 or 7, you know, win total. I think if they get good quarterback, or at least decent quarterback play, he's going to get all the credit. And we saw last year, like, he took guys like Nick Mullins and Joshua Dobbs. Like, those are not good quarterbacks. And he was winning games with them. He was very competitive. You didn't have Justin Jefferson for a lot of those games. So I think if he can kind of resurrect Sam Darnold a little bit, or get J.J. McCarthy to be, you know, a good enough quarterback in his rookie year, he's going to get a lot of that credit. And if I think that Minnesota could win 9-10 games, you know, he certainly fits the bill for me as a upside coach of the year, especially at those odds. Like, I think it's way too high. He should be one of the 3 or 4 favorites, in my opinion. So if I can get something above 20-1, I think that's a fantastic price. So, you know, I like Mike McDonald too, with Seattle. He kind of fits all that criteria as a new coach. He's another guy I think has a good chance. His odds are a lot shorter, but those are the two I think off the top that makes sense to me.
Yeah, we're gonna have fun with Mike McDonald versus Mike McDaniel this year. I can see that being an issue. But you do this for MVP in terms of giving the parameters that have been tried and true. Offensive rookie of the year, defensive rookie of the year. It's all in Cleve TA's guide. Just want to point out this other one because you have all kinds of historical data points that could potentially apply to our season win totals bets. And pardon me, I have to go to the phone because we're not syncing here. But this one was interesting real quick in our last 30 seconds. There have been 10 teams with a new head coach and a top 5 drafted rookie quarterback starting at least half of their games. The win total has hit 6 times with 3 unders and a push. So 6-3-1 to the over. 4 of the 6 that went over did so by at least 2 wins and 3 by more than 3 wins. That applies to both Washington and New England. Washington. Interesting. There's all kinds of little nuggets in there. CleveAnalytics.com at CLEVTA on Twitter. TA, thank you so much, man. I really appreciate it.
Thanks. I appreciate it, guys.
Cleve TA, everybody, right here on a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Samich on the other side. He's got baseball plays and Olympics play. He did the NFC West. We'll talk about it all next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Barcanada, the barrage, here at the D. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. If you went to Wimbledon, would you have strawberries and cream, you think? You think you would partake?
Wait, what?
If you went to...
Is that like a thing?
Yeah, strawberries and cream. You never heard about that at Wimbledon?
No, I didn't. I didn't know it was a thing.
Oh, that's a thing.
What's the booze situation like? That's what I'm more interested in.
We'll ask. We get tweets at Beating the Book. A lot of response to the soccer slander. Brian M. Is slandering soccer at a... Gil and Kelly, slandering soccer at a level not seen on a numbers game since Ben Wilson's slander of ego while you were on vacation. The second I turned my back, he was just killing her.
That was my. I think that's been my favorite fill-in host bit of all time because he dared to bring up that he so cautiously walked into. You know, Kelly, I think I kind of like Sabalenka more than Iga. And I would just blew it way out of proportion. I was like, how dare you, sir?
And then Iga wins the tournament. Trip Tepper, soccer guy gets big mad when you bring up the lack of scoring in soccer and how lopsided the penalty kick is relative to the defensive infraction. Also, the constant flopping to draw fouls has gotten out of hand. Wait, so Trip, I don't know if you were agreeing. Wait, that went all kinds of directions.
Yeah.
So is Trip on our side or is he against us? I'm not sure. Kevin Ryan, Gil, soccer banter on the on a numbers game. No.
We did a solid 5 minutes, man.
I thought it was solid. Mike Alvarez. Oh, this is so great. Mike Alvarez was saying, hey, guys, has Dallas Keuchel reached ATM status this year? I haven't been watching closely this year. I went ahead and put some pizza money on the Dodgers at minus 155 in a live bet. And then, of course, I'm laughing at him because Dallas Keuchel was like 2006 Dallas Keuchel. And he lost. Yeah. No. But here's his stat line, though. You ready for this? No strikeouts, 5 bases on balls, no runs allowed.
That's exciting.
Dallas Keuchel, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the co-host of The Handle here at the network. He does it with Matt Brown. It is noon Eastern, Saturdays and Sundays. He is also capable of a periodic Somo Bomb. It's Mike Somich, everybody, at Somo Bomb 18, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Mikey?
I'm doing well. I got two questions off those tweets. First off,
yes.
When was there not flopping? Like in soccer, this isn't a new thing. This has been going on forever. And secondly, the advanced stats don't like Dallas Keuchel. Let me just say that off that line. I have a feeling that they're going to say he's due for some regression.
Well, I said that about Luis Gil. Everybody was all over Luis Gil. I was like, oh, this guy's about to. And the regression came. The regression comes. It does, typically, unless you're Blake Snell and you can do it for an entire season.
Yeah, you guys are wrong. I put a Cy Young bet in this morning on Dallas Keuchel.
Did you? No,
sure you got a great number.
Yeah, I'm sure your number was fantastic. All right, Mike, you're all over the place, so we're going to go all over the place with you. We're talking about NFL betting guides today. You covered the NFC West in the VSiN NFL betting guide. What were your sort of more outlying conclusions?
I think it's going to be a really interesting division this year. The more I dove into San Francisco, the more I'm a little bit worried about this team, and they're sitting up there with 11.5 win total right now. There is no depth on the offensive line, and we saw last year when they did struggle, it was because they lost an offensive lineman. If they lose one or two offensive linemen, that offense could struggle mightily. And you look at the defensive side, the D-line, not nearly the same as it was. It feels like this could be a team that is going to regress a little bit. And I'm not saying they're going to win, you know, 6 games here. I think that they've got a good shot at winning double-digit games. But it opens up the door for the rest of this division, which I think is awfully interesting. I think the Rams and the Seahawks both have an opportunity to take a step forward. I thought the Rams' defense was going to be atrocious last year. By the end of the season, they kind of figured it out. Now, losing Aaron Donald, obviously, a huge loss for that Rams team, but we'll see what they're able to do to kind of rebound from it. I think Kyren Williams, very interesting. He's sitting at 12-1 to lead the NFL in rushing yards. After he came in and became the bell cow back, he was averaging over 100 yards rushing. I think that's an interesting play inside this division. And I kind of think the Cardinals are going to be frisky. They've got a really tough early schedule. So I actually had 2 separate win total plays for them in the guide. I took them under preseason, but then after week 6, that schedule gets significantly easier. I'm planning on playing them over once we get to week 6 for the win total as well. So one thing that I talked about in the guide and that I've talked about a couple segments here on VSiN, I love sending myself calendar invites for a lot of these teams and specifically say, hey, you know, the Monday after week 6, go in and look at the Cardinals, right? Go in and see what is the win total at? How much has it adjusted down after this really tough stretch of the schedule? And I'll do that for division winners. I'll do that for win totals. I'll do that for player awards like MVP, things like that, so that I have something to remind myself to, hey, go check this out. Allows you to do a lot of that prep before the season starts. And then you get those little pop-ups during the season to go back, look at the odds, see if you find anything to bet. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't, but it's a great way to help yourself prep for an upcoming season.
Couldn't agree more.
That's a pro tip, right?
That's a pro tip. Calendar alerts.
Like, I have notes written down for each team like that, yeah. Mike, but you're right. That's next level with the calendar reminder, because then you can't miss it ever.
But generally speaking, we've talked about this on this show and on the podcast before this, which is, you know, I used to do that off the grid Lehman Brothers thing where there would be a buy and sell price on all these teams. It was like super duper illegal. But then when like legalized sportsbooks, we were doing primetime action when it started. Mm-hmm. Legalized sportsbooks doing in-season wins, adjusted season wins. This is not something that has existed since the beginning of time. It's literally in the last 5 years. 5 years. Seriously.
Wait, I love how excited Gil gets about this. Like Mike, the first couple of years that these came out, like Gil would bring this up once a week.
It's just an advent. So that's how you should bet them. You should know when the schedule turns good and bad. But the calendar alerts next level.
It is a great, great market to be able to be betting into. I have a spreadsheet which has each division broken out. I have the full schedules in each, and then I simply tag them each game red, yellow, or green. right? Yellow is basically a coin flip. Green, I think they're going to win. Red, I think they're going to lose. And it's a really easy way to look at the schedule inside the division. So just those four division teams, and be able to see when certain teams are going through a bad stretch, certain teams have a chance at winning multiple games in a row. And that allows you to go in and play division win totals. You've got a division exactas that are available throughout the season as well. All of those different markets are very, very responsive from week to week basis. You're going to see major moves in them, even if the team loses a game they're supposed to lose. And that allows you as a gambler to go in and be able to get a better number than what you were able to get just 1 week prior.
Two follow-ups on the NFC West stuff. One, Kelly, after the show Friday, you saw me go up here, I bet Puka Nacua Offensive Player of the Year at 32-1. Doing so because last year I was just like killing Matt Stafford and you know, that coaching staff are just like, I must feed Cooper Kupp the ball. And every time they fed it to Puka, great things happen. So I hope that has gone away this coming year. And so I bet that. I think the Seahawks, though, are the most fascinating one, Mike, which is to say that offensively, like if you look at the advanced metrics from last year, they did really well, actually. Defensively, they stunk, and now they have their defensive-minded new head coach. And I'm just wondering if we're going to realize, like, how quickly it's going to occur to us, if things, of course, go well, how quickly it's going to occur to us that Pete Carroll was suboptimal every which way you looked. Like, he was just absolutely just shooting his own team in the foot over and over by some of the decisions made. I'm just curious if we discover that with this team.
It's going to be interesting. I mean, this was a team where I was all in on the Seahawks last year, right? They had two second year guards, both of which I thought were going to take a step forward. I loved what they did from a cornerback perspective. They got Tariq Woolen. They've got Witherspoon, both of them younger cornerbacks that should improve. They couldn't stop the run a lick 2 years ago. They bring in Bobby Wagner last year. They still couldn't stop the run. Now they've got Mike McDonald coming in at head coach. That should really help the defense out. You've got all the weapons in the world on the offensive side. They should be able to figure out how to use Smith, Jackson, Jigba. But the thing that to me is the key is the switch from Pete Carroll, right? He's a rah-rah coach. He was never really an X's and O's guy. And you could kind of tell that locker room was getting a little stale. They weren't listening to him like they were when they were winning those Super Bowls. And so I think you're going to see a big time jump forward here. The question is Geno Smith. Do you get the Geno Smith from 2 years ago when metrically he was a top 12 quarterback, no matter how you sliced it in the NFL, or do you get the Geno Smith from last year, which was an absolute mess? I kind of lean toward the 2 years ago Geno Smith, especially with the weapons that you have around him. And that's one of the other reasons why, like, I'm a little lower on San Francisco, because I think the Rams are going to be decent this year. I think the Seattle Seahawks have a chance to take a big step forward. I think the Cardinals have a chance to win a couple games. I think they're going to be frisky, and that all makes it more difficult for the Niners here inside this division. -195 I thought was a crazy price on the Niners. If I was going to take a shot here, I would take the Seahawks +700, just because I do think you have the opportunity to see a big turnaround because of that coaching staff.
By the way, beyond the NFC West, we'll save the Olympics and baseball for the other side here, but beyond the NFC West, what is your single most outlying NFL opinion?
I think the Saints are going to be bad, like bad, bad. I took alt unders on the Saints here, and this is a team that is not very good offensively. They didn't make any moves in the offseason. I am not a Dennis Allen guy at all. I think he's probably the worst coach right now in the NFL that's tenured. And then you look at the schedule. They start out against the Panthers. Okay, great, right? Then it's Cowboys, Eagles, Falcons, Chiefs, Bucks. Like, it's not an easy schedule for them right out of the gate after that first stretch. Derek Carr, I think he's completely washed. He's just a check down Charlie at this point. You've got Kamara a year older. And the defense that they really hung their hat on for years was not good last year. And I don't see how they're going to suddenly be better again this year. So to me, the New Orleans Saints alt unders is kind of my big look here.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I've never loved Derek Carr. I've never been a Derek Carr fan.
But yeah.
I mean,
with Mike here, what'd you see out of that team last year to make you believe anything better is going to happen this year?
I just always think, even in the best of years for Derek Carr, when he was putting up numbers, when crunch time came and a decision needed to be made, it was always the wrong.
Yeah, he left it. The better quarterback was on the bench last year. Now he's in Cleveland.
Jameis time.
Man loves his FSU players, that's for sure. More with Samo bombing. Mike Somich next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game. Skill Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, Mike Somich, kind enough to hang with us for a second segment. You can find him on the handle with Matt Brown, weekends here at the network, and of course on Twitter at SomoBomb18. SomoBomb. There we go. There goes the screen. See, we just did it right there. Nice job, guys.
Mike, Oklahoma in 2004. That's who USC beat to win the title.
We're just talking off air about we're talking about how Pete Carroll still has an office with the Seahawks. Nick Saban still has an office with Alabama. And Mike pointed out very clearly that, at least with Saban, there's a recruiting benefit to that. You can't say the same with Carroll because you go back in time. These kids don't even know. He won a title in the mid-aughts.
Yeah.
These kids don't know him, so. Can we start the segment with your wonderful quiz that you'd like to give everybody? I think this was very...
Oh, yeah. Well, this would... you might have to quiz me on it in about 4 months. You could just do a match a face with a name for Mike McDonald, Mike McDaniel, Michael McDowell, and Michael McDonald.
Okay. Mike McDaniel.
For me, at least.
Mike McDaniel, Dolphins head coach.
Yes.
Mike McDonald, Seahawks head coach.
Yes.
Michael McDonald... I'll keep forget. And then
one of the most annoying or best singers of all time.
Oh, it's the greatest. Are you kidding me?
And then Michael McDowell, who I believe won a Daytona 500 a year or two ago.
You lost me.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's right. I saw his name on a NASCAR betting odds.
That's totally going to be fun this year.
Yeah, good times.
Yeah. All right. Olympics are upon us. Well, at least they're getting closer anyway. And you have a basketball bet that you made.
I do. I wanted a little bit of a sweat here with Team USA, and I was interested to see that they put up a most points in the Olympics prop for the for Team USA specifically, and I was a little bit surprised. I went into it without seeing the odds, and I figured that Anthony Edwards would either be the favorite or the co-favorite. He's actually sitting third choice right now at plus 550. Joel Embiid, the favorite at plus 350. Kevin Durant, second choice at plus 450. And I kind of look at this, I disagree, especially what we saw last summer when we saw in the Worlds where Anthony Edwards really was the face of this team. And then you look at the age of this team as well. You look at guys like Embiid, who's coming off an injury, guys like Durant, who's a little bit older, Curry, LeBron James, older. They're not going to be playing if Team USA is up 20 points, 30 points in these games, specifically late. Anthony Edwards will, and you know he's going to absolutely take the ball to the rack and be able to shoot the ball. So I'm surprised. I thought that Anthony Edwards should be the favorite or co-favorite. He's sitting there at plus 550, the third choice. I thought there was some value in that, and it gives me a little Olympic basketball sweat. It's a little more interested in watching it. So I played Anthony Edwards most points in the Olympics for Team USA, plus 550.
I like the thinking. Didn't Anthony Edwards just proclaim himself the number one option on that team? Didn't he just say that out loud?
He did. He did that yesterday. I kind of don't like that because you know that LeBron is going to take that personally a little bit. Like there's going to be other guys like, whoa, wait, young buck. It's like, it's me still. But again, the minutes to me is the big key here.
Yeah.
In games where they are blowing someone out, Anthony Edwards will stay on the floor. A lot of these older guys will not, because they don't want to risk injury. They don't want to put miles on them. Anthony Edwards, happy to do that, happy to be the face. So I do think he's got a more upside than some of these other guys in blowouts as well.
Mike, what were the odds on Booker, if you have him in front of you? I'm trying to find right now. I guess he would be the only one I'd consider. I think your overall take on Team USA is kind of, I share it, and it's a little bit of a concern where just they are getting a little long in the tooth. You don't think about that with a lot of these guys, but they are.
Yep, it is an older team when you go through it, and you're kind of surprised some younger guys didn't end up on here. But it's absolutely stacked. So Edwards is plus 550, Steph Curry plus 600, LeBron James plus 600, Jason Tatum plus 650, Devin Booker plus 700, everyone else 20-1 or longer.
Yeah, Tatum and Booker wouldn't be bad too. But I'm with you. I think that's Anthony Edwards would be a good look there.
If you're looking for that bet on DraftKings, you've got to go to basketball and then view all. And then Olympic basketball men's, and then scoring leader under that.
So thank you. I was wondering why.
Thank you so much.
You're hunting, but it is there.
When does the view all show up in that? What was the second?
When you click on basketball, it will list out different options. And if you click view all at the bottom,
that's when
you see all of the basketball options.
That's how up until Wimbledon started, you had to find Wimbledon futures. Or if you want to find future slams, you have to go into the view all of tennis as well.
Right.
Yeah. So not exactly. By the way, when most wins in monthly for Caesars William Hill also is like this weird thing where you have to go to a somewhat completely counterintuitive as well. Good call on that. in terms of the navigation. All right. How about baseball today? I want to give you credit for this, Mike, because you have been the one that's been most vocal about this certain kind of ninth inning themed bet, if you will.
Yeah, it's started to pick up some traction on the network. Been funny to watch other shows, and all of a sudden people are talking about this specific bet. But DraftKings is the only book I've seen listed. It's will a team bat in the bottom of the ninth inning. It's a great way to be playing favorites that you like, but you don't want to lay the run and a half to get a better number. But you're still able to get a significantly better number than what's listed for the specific money line of the game. So it's almost like a middling money line in a way. I like one team today, specifically with this bet. We're going to go to the Cincinnati Reds here. They are currently minus 170 with Andrew Abbott on the mound against a terrible Colorado Rockies team. They're at home facing Feltner, a pitcher I love fading. He's sitting there with 1-7 with a 5.60 ERA. If you play, will the Reds bat in the bottom of the ninth? No. So essentially win the game in 8.5 innings. You can get minus 120 right now. So you save 50 cents off that minus 170 run or money line. So we're going to go Reds. Will they bat in the bottom of the ninth? No, minus 120 in this spot.
It's awesome. It's great thinking on that. So it's a creative way to bet something by proxy and bet something without having to lay the same amount of juice, even close to the same amount of juice. All right, you have another play as well today.
Yeah, we're going to go to one of my favorite teams at this point. I love betting the Nationals, something I did not expect to say during this Major League Baseball season, but they've been frisky with their bats, and they just called up with their biggest prospect, James Wood, hitting 320 through seven games, so been able to hit the cover off the baseball. Have a pitching advantage today. The Cardinals have Mikolas on the mound, and the Nationals have Parker on the mound. I'm a bigger Parker fan than Mikolas fan. Mikolas given up at least two earned in all but three of his starts so far this year. Right now, you can get Washington first half, so first five, minus 125. I want to focus in on just the starting pitchers here. You're giving up a little more juice, but that's because we've got an edge from a starting pitching perspective. I like Washington's lineup more. They've been hitting the baseball well lately. I don't think people realize they are just six games under 500 as well. This is a team playing above expectations, and I think it's legitimate. They have quickly become one of my favorite teams to bet this year because of how well they've been able to hit the ball and how mispriced they are still in the market from that perspective. They're just not getting as much love as I think they deserve. Because of that, I've gone back to them quite a bit, and it's been pretty successful. So we're going to go back to the Washington Nationals again today. First five innings, minus 125.
Yeah, they're 42-48. Based on run differential, they ought to be a little bit better than that, quite frankly, right? They should probably be two games below 500, not four games below 500. So the Nats currently on the outside looking in on the in the NL playoff picture, but not that far out, five games out of the number three playoff position. What is more sustainable? The Nats sort of flirting with 500, the Guardians flirting with the best record in all of baseball, or I guess the Yankees and Braves still staying afloat in the playoff pictures, respectively? Like, which of those do you think is the most likely to crumble?
Most likely to crumble, man, I'm sorry, Gil, it's probably the Guardians. For them to stay as the best record in baseball with that pitching staff, to me, is awfully tough. They've hit the cover off the ball in a lot of different spots. I don't think that they are one of the best teams in baseball. Now, the schedule plays out well for them playing in that Central Division. They get a lot of easier games, which allows them to keep that record afloat. But at some point, I think you're going to see some regression from this Guardians offense.
Yeah, no need to apologize to me. I stole them in March, April, and May, and then I gave them back to Edinburgh.
You're off the bus.
Yeah, no, I'm off the bus. But no, they're an interesting team because, right, at some point, it's like, you know, again, that's the beauty of – it's the beauty of betting all sports, but particularly baseball where there's 162 data points of this. If you're able to buck something that is so clearly ripe for regression for 162 games – it's kind of an amazing feat. I talk about Blake Snell last year with the Padres. Like, you cannot possibly walk all of these players and then have this historic strand rate for an entire season. And yet he did, right? So with the Guardians, like, their starting pitching is just so, and I'm being kind, mediocre, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. But they've been able to hit the cover off the ball, and the pitching is for the most part, been good for them. At some point, though, I agree with you, Gil. You would expect the regression, but like you said with Snell last year, it never came with Snell. Regression is expected, but you don't know when it's going to come either. It's one of the toughest parts about betting the advanced stats is that you can make tell me all the advanced stats in the world where someone's due to regress. It doesn't mean they're going to regress today.
That's right.
They're going to regress at some point, but it doesn't mean it's happening today. So you got to be careful about when you pick your spots with that.
Today or this year, in some cases. The Guardians have just had unbelievably, you know, timely and good hitting, and then the bullpen has been lights out, except for April 30th. They had trouble that night. Don't we know it.
Live in infamy.
Yes. Mike, thank you so much. Always a pleasure, man. Appreciate you making the time.
You got it, guys. Have a good one.
Mike Somich, everybody, at Somo Bomb. That's S-O-M-O Bomb 18, the number 18 on Twitter. The handle, weekends, noon Eastern. Matt Brown and Mike Somich hanging out together. Talking sports betting and do a great job with it. We've done all we can do. Gojo and Golic are next on the radio side. Best bets on the side of the pictures. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.